the 8th chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 18. Luke 8, 16 to 18. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. This is the word of the Lord. And that is what I want to speak about today, is the problem of hidden lights. Because I want to say to you that if you intend to build a church or grow this church or grow this congregation or whatever you do for the church, it doesn't matter actually what wonderful building you may put up, what wonderful architecture may be involved, and what a wonderful center you may establish. Nothing will ultimately work if you hide your lights. The whole secret of church growth is that our lights are not hidden, but rather that they are shining. And every church that is growing, every church that you see or read about or know about that seems to flourish and grow overnight, is a church whose members are not hiding their lights. But those churches that stay as they are or even begin to shrink are churches that hide their lights. And this, I believe, is what Luke wants us to know from this passage of his gospel, where he quotes the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed." Now, this little passage comes right after that parable that Jesus told about the sower, where some falls on hard ground and some the birds take it away, and where other seed falls amongst the thorns and so on. And we know this, we know the parable very well indeed. It's interesting to see the words, the verbs that Jesus uses in that parable. There are people who hear, but they bear no fruit. There are people who receive with joy, but when persecution comes, then it all falls away. There are people who believe, and then finally there are people who retain. It's the people who retain the seed. It's the people who retain that word. It's the people who retain the word of God that finally bring forth fruit. Because the seed refers to that word of life, that word of the gospel that must take hold of our lives and must grip us. My friends, if we are not gripped by the magnificence of the message, by the magnitude of the message of the gospel, we'll be gripped by nothing else. There is nothing greater than that message of the gospel. It is huge in its implications. We are not talking about good psychology when we talk about the word of the gospel. We are not talking about a superior religion when we talk about the word of the gospel. We are talking about the God of creation who sent his Son into the world to be our Savior. We're talking about something mammoth. We're talking about something cosmic, something that is beyond our understanding. And the more we get into trying to plumb the depths of what it means for God to so love the world that he sent his only Son, the more lost we get in the hugeness of it all. It's a huge message. So when we talk about good news, the Greek word is actually momentous news. It's something bigger than good. It's something bigger than great. This is an amazing, unheard of thing that God should send his Son into the world so that we might have life. And so what I want to urge you to do today is not to hide your light. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. First of all, think about what the Lord Jesus meant when he spoke about the light. What did he mean when he spoke about the light? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about the gospel of salvation, which is a light. Imagine our world as it is at the moment. The world is a very dark place. You know, we like to, in our little groups, in our little social bubbles where we live, in our little community bubbles or suburban bubbles where we live, we are sometimes not touched by the things that happen out there in the world. So we put the TV on and then we see what's happening in Syria, and we see what happened in North Africa, or we see what's happening in some of the townships of our world. But it's not happening to us, because by God's grace and in his providence, we are living in our safe little bubble for the moment. But my dear friends, what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us, what the Word of God teaches us, is that the world is a world of darkness. It is a world of moral darkness. It is a world of spiritual darkness. There is no understanding of the God who created the universe. But the Lord Jesus comes into the world as a light. He says, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me will never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, what does that word light means? It means a word of truth in a world of falsehood. It means something from God that lights up the pathway. It means that there's a message that helps us to understand the world that we're living in with all of its fallenness and all of its brokenness. That's what Jesus meant. There's a word from God to lost mankind. When there's no word from God, we live in darkness, we do not know what we're doing, and we do not know how to negotiate life. But when God speaks, He brings light. And God speaks to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's the gospel that God speaks to us through Christ. Of course, in the gospels itself, Jesus is present personally, teaching and healing and establishing His credentials to be the Savior. And then He goes on to die on the cross and He rises again from the dead. And then when we get to the epistles, all that Jesus did on the cross is explained to us. And there we are told that what it means is this, is that He has come to redeem the world. And the world may now be redeemed through Him. And not only redeemed by way of salvation, but God's final intention is to redeem the entire cosmos. His intention is to redeem all of the brokenness of the world, all of the brokenness that has taken place in the spiritual realms, all of the brokenness that's taken place on earth, all of the brokenness of the cosmos, and heal it all and bring it all together under Jesus Christ. It's a magnificent message that we have. And the message is that you can be part of that great, amazing, recreating process by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. By turning to Him and asking God to forgive you for the sake of what Jesus did on the cross, who died there for your sins and for my sins. And if you do that, then God promises that if you embrace Jesus, that if you turn to Him and repent of your sins, that He will accept you and He will attribute the righteousness of the Lord Jesus to you, and He will take your brokenness and failure and sins and put it on Jesus, and you'll be forgiven and you'll be included in the great plan that He has for the future. That doesn't mean that He's going to make you perfect immediately. But He promises you perfection in time to come when you will have no more cause to ever be depressed again. So it's a great message that we have, do you see? And it's all focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to what Jesus says. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under the bed. No, no. Why? So that those who come in can see the light. And so, the light is this great gospel message. And the point, the purpose of the light is that it may be seen, or if you like, heard. Jesus was using a metaphor of a lamp to describe the truth of the gospel. But it's meant to be seen and heard. Dear people, listen to me. You have got friends. You have got family members. You have got contacts and neighbors that the church will never reach. Not in 1,000 years will we reach them. But who will reach them? Now God has placed this great responsibility on each and every one of us to reach those who are round about us. There we are to shine. We are to talk. We are to show the way. You know, somebody once said that we are to preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. In other words, they want us just to be so good and kind that people will say, wow, what good and kind people they are. I want to go to wherever they're going and be whatever they are doing. You can get representatives of any religion who can be good and kind. Good and kindness is not just limited to Christians. Plenty of people in the world can be good and kind people. And to say that you can preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words is like saying you've got to feed the hungry and, if necessary, use bread. No. You've got to use words. You've got to explain the gospel to people. It's got to be verbalized. And it's not easy. Of course not. Because where does the light shine? It shines in darkness. So you are surrounded by darkness. And that's where you've got to let your light shine. Now, my friends, if you want to build a church one day, if you want to get that structure up and running, Do not think that the establishment of a church structure in and of itself is going to bring people. There may be some curiosity at first, but at the end of the day, that church that you hope to build will be dependent not even on the minister in the pulpit and his leadership, but on every member shining and not hiding their lights. Because the purpose of the light is to shine. But now let me tell you, it is possible to hide our lights. And some of us do, unfortunately. We all do from time to time in our lives, and I've been as guilty as anybody else of doing it. But sometimes, sadly to say, people hide the light of the gospel by backsliding from it. I don't know if anybody here has backslidden. Maybe you were more ardent at one point than you are now. Maybe you were ready to speak at one point than you are now. Maybe you had an influence with people that is lost because you yourself have lost your grip on the gospel. And so you have backslidden in some way or another. You know, backsliding is a funny thing because we don't advertise it and we don't always show it. It's something that dies in the heart. That's where it dies. But we can still have our bodies in church and we can still say the right things and present the right sort of face. But something in our hearts has died. And sometimes we can hide our light through sheer hypocrisy, you know. We can be one thing in one set of circumstances and another thing in another set of circumstances. I just heard recently of a person who was like that, who was a Christian in one set of circumstances, but in his job, he was another set of circumstances. And the people who were under him in his job really shook their heads at him. And said, there's no way to shine your light like that. No, my dear friends, the light has got to shine through us in our words and in our action. And our words and our actions combined speak of a Savior who came from heaven, who welcomes all who come to Christ. And who do we think is duty it is to let the light shine? Is it only the minister or the preacher or the church council? No, of course it's not. It's for everyone. And you know what? When you became a new Christian, when you first became a new Christian, when it was all new to you and you got converted, did you find it easy to talk? You wanted to tell people about it. And so you shared the gospel with people, and you couldn't help the overflow of your heart. But as time has gone by, all of that is withdrawn. And that's what Jesus means in the book of Revelation chapter 3 when he says to the church at Ephesus, you have lost your first love. You've lost that first love. That first love is the love of witnessing. That first love is the love of Jesus that overflows to the rest of the world, the light that is shining, that you can't help it and you don't care what people think. And you love them all the same, and you embrace them all, and you bring them all under the influence of the light that is in you. And you know, one of the worst ways in which we shine our light, dear friends, is through nominalism. Nominalism is a terrible thing. Nominalism means that you are a Christian in name only. Now, when you are a Christian in name only, that means that you agree with your baptism and you agree with your church, a statement of faith, and you agree with the church and the running of the church, and you've got no argument with God, and you've got no argument with Christ, and you've got no argument with the Bible, and so you agree with it all, but you are dead inside. Stone dead inside. Because all the stuff you agree with has not touched your heart and set your heart alight. There's no flame there. There's no burning there. There's no life there. So if anybody had agreed with you because of your temperament, you say, yes, well, I don't disagree with any of those things. I agree with it all. But you're only a Christian in name. You're not a Christian in fact. And in that way, the light is hidden. So that people who meet you say, oh, no, that person goes to church. He goes to the Anglican Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Church of England Church, or what, Methodist Church, or whatever. Now, he's a churchman. He goes there. But that churchman never tells anyone about the light, because he's got nothing actually to share. So the Lord Jesus Christ urges us not to hide our lights. Do not hide the light, he says. Rather, put the light on a stand so that everyone can see it. But now listen to this warning. He says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. You see, my dear friends, all of us who gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus in whatever church, all of us, our true condition will one day be revealed. You can keep no secrets. Who you really are will one day be seen. Who you really are will one day be disclosed. And not only on the day of judgment, but even here in this world. While we think we can keep up the secret of being a Christian, something happens and the real nature shines through. And it will shine through on that great day of judgment when we will be seen for what we really are. There will be a disclosure. And if we do not have the true light within us, it'll be seen on that great day. And so the Lord Jesus Christ warns us that we must have the light and we must shine the light. Because like these people in the parable of the sower, there were some people who seemed to get a little bit of the light. But in the end, it all fell away. And it may be that it's fallen away in some heart here today. And then listen finally to what Jesus says in verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. There are some people I have met in the course of my ministry who have flounced into our church and declared themselves Christians with a great flourish, told us about the wonderful things they've done and how they've now left their church, and they were there for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or months, and then before you know it, some trouble has occurred around them and they flounced out again. There was nothing in their hearts at all. Nothing at all. There are some people who are attracted to churches and attracted to religion, and they make a great noise about it all, but at the end of the day, they are proven to be earthen vessels, empty barrels, and they've got nothing. And the very things that they say they've got will be taken away from them. But the man or the woman or the child whose heart has really been touched by the seed of life, by the word of God, by the light of life, and is truly seeking God with all their feebleness and all their frailty and all their mistakes, the Lord Jesus Christ says, whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. So you can see in the congregation, there are some people who keep growing, because whoever has will be given more, more understanding, more hunger, more longing, more opportunities, more success in witnessing. And those who don't have, even what they think they have, will be taken away. So all spiritual frauds will eventually be exposed, but those who have the light will eventually be put on display. The Lord Jesus Christ says, don't hide your light while you're here on earth. Put it in the stand so that people can see it. And I want to say to you, dear friends, that unless your light is seen by word and deed to people that this church cannot reach normally, the church will not grow. You'll get the odd person moving in, an odd new curiosity seeker coming in, drifting out again. But it will not grow. The way in which a church grows is when the ordinary people in the church let their light shine. Now, please, spread the word. Let the light shine. Do not be ashamed of Christ. It doesn't matter if people don't accept it. It's not your problem if people say they don't want to hear what you've got to say. You let your light shine. Aha, but here's something. The great thing is, do you have a light to shine? Has the light shone into your own heart? If you feel that the light has been quenched, or it's flickering, or it's about to die, or that it's no longer there, or you have lost that something that connects you to God, then today is the day for you to ask for help. Today is the day for you to say, I can't stay like this. I've got to be renewed. And I urge you to take the step of coming back to the Lord Jesus today in repentance and say, Lord, reignite the flame in my heart and let my light shine for you. Now, will you let the light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you tell someone, even now as you're sitting here listening to me, think about who you can go to with the light of the gospel? And if your heart is cold, dead inside, say, today is the day when by God's grace it will be reignited. I'm turning to Him. And I'm going to help you by asking you to bow with me in prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer that will cover all of us today. And you identify with that section of the prayer that you feel resonates with your own heart. And so we'll make our own comeback to God today. Let's do that. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you forgive us for all our wrong ideas about church and about witnessing and about our relationship with you. Sometimes we've allowed shyness to overtake us and reticence to control us and fear to take over our hearts, so we don't let our light shine. Will you forgive us? Will you help us to be brave and not to be ashamed of Jesus, and to recapture that old feeling that overwhelms us with the love of God for us, and that makes us want to so urgently touch other lives with the gospel? Help us, Lord. Help me. Help me to let my light shine. But, oh God, I feel that my heart is dead. I feel the light is very weak, or it's gone out. I feel nothing in my heart anymore. I'm overwhelmed by life and all of its difficulties. Forgive me. Restore me to yourself. May the Holy Spirit come back to me in a real way and ignite the flame of love for Jesus. Put back into my heart the word of the good news and a concern for other people. And help our church. Oh God, help us all to burn and shine and share the good news. Help us to put the light on the stand and help our church and bring in people we never thought would come in, and help us to reach them with the good news of Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.